Now, here at home, we're going to look at the High Court ruling earlier this week where cases taken by two opposition TDs were dismissed. Their cases were centred on concerns they had raised around cabinet confidentiality. Sinn Féin's Pat Daly and People Before Profit TD Paul Murphy had challenged the attendance of super juniors at cabinet meetings and claimed only government ministers could attend these, arguing that any others in attendance breached cabinet confidentiality. On Friday, a three-judge division of the High Court ruled there was no breach of the Constitution and dismissed both cases. Paul Murphy has said they had an important decision to make over Christmas about a possible appeal. Well, to look at this in more detail and the law surrounding cabinet attendance and confidentiality, we're joined by James McDermott, barrister and lecturer at UCD Sutherland School of Law. James, thanks very much for coming in to discuss this. So the two politicians, Mr. Daly and Mr. Murphy, they both took separate cases, but that dealt with the same issue. Remind us there first specifically of their concerns and then the basis for their legal challenge.
Well, the start of this discussion has to be Article 28(1) of the Constitution, which simply provides that the government shall consist of not less than 7 and not more than 15 members. But when coalition governments became the norm, more and more politicians wanted a seat at the cabinet table. So in 1994, when the Rainbow Coalition was being formed, virtually overnight, a new position was invented, the super junior. And the explanation for the super junior minister was always that they would attend cabinet, but they wouldn't vote.
And I suppose you touched on 28.1, which says the government shall consist of no more than 15 members. But crucially, the Constitution also states nothing about who can or cannot attend cabinet meetings. Is that right?
Well, this is the point. And for the last 30 years, there's been some disquiet about the fact that, to some extent, this appears to be a distinction without a difference, because when you have a coalition government, you can't have votes because the junior party will lose every single vote. So constitutional lawyers were concerned about this, particularly academics, for 20 or 30 years, but nobody really did anything about it. And then 30 years later, it seems that constitutional challenges are like Dublin buses. You wait for ages for one and then two come along together. And on Friday, the High Court had to decide two similar but separate cases.
And as you say, then the judges obviously analysed the evidence in these two cases, came to the same conclusion. Were you surprised or not by the ruling? And do you think it was expected the cases would be dismissed?
No, I wasn't surprised. I expected that both would be dismissed. I think the key point really is that, as you identified earlier, the Constitution doesn't provide who has to attend a cabinet meeting or who's excluded from attending. It's clear that the 15 senior ministers have to attend, but after that, it appears to be a matter of discretion for the Taoiseach. And if the Taoiseach decides that now 4 super junior ministers can attend meetings of the government, then so be it. But crucially, the court decided that just because you attend a meeting of the government and just because you speak at a meeting of a of the government, it doesn't make you a member of the government, so you're not one of the 15.
And that was clear cut. But also, how significant in the judge ruling was the fact that historically people other than members of the government have attended these meetings, been invited into it, including the Attorney General?
Well, that's an excellent question. And that was one of the problems that the applicants had in both of these cases, because they accepted, for example, that the Secretary General of the government could attend cabinet. He's not one of the 15. They accepted that the Attorney General could attend meetings of the cabinet. He's not one of the 15. And they also accepted that even within the 4 super junior ministers, there was a disparity, because they seemed to accept that one of them, the chief whip, could attend because they historically had, but the other 3 couldn't. And there's an obvious problem there, because if you accept that people who aren't members of the government can attend the meetings of the government, then why are you drawing the line at these 3 additional super juniors?
Now, the judgments are lengthy, running to almost 300 pages. So, of course, legal teams will be looking through these in details and ultimately, as we understand, making a decision on whether to appeal. I'm not sure if you've scanned through the 300 pages, but you've certainly looked through it. Are there grounds for it, do you think, James?
Well, I think before the judgments were delivered, I think the general view was that whoever lost, whichever side lost, was likely to appeal, and that appeal was likely to be a leapfrog appeal directly to the Supreme Court. But having read the 300 pages, it seems to me that the language used by the Divisional High Court is pretty concrete. You don't get the feeling that this was an issue which they'd sleepless nights over. They're very clear in their findings. So having read the 300 pages, albeit quite quickly, since they were released at 2 p.m. on Friday, there aren't many obvious points of appeal. So there's no point bringing an appeal unless you've concrete grounds for an appeal. And as I say, the findings are pretty determinative. The language is pretty strong. This is really a very big win for the government, it seems to me.
And as you said, that they will make those decisions whether or not they will make a possible appeal. These cases really do put cabinet attendance and confidentiality in the spotlight. But also more generally, it highlights how provisions of our constitution are interpreted and when different views can be taken, doesn't it?
Certainly. But on the cabinet confidentiality point, the findings of the Divisional High Court are quite strong because they simply say that cabinet confidentiality applies to anybody who attends meetings of the cabinet. So the finding on that is pretty strong. Obviously, in any case like this, you're trying to interpret several different provisions of the Constitution in a harmonious manner. So the central provision here was Article 28.1, but there were very many other constitutional issues at play, hence the length of the judgments.
And obviously this ended up in the court, but do you think from your perspective in the legal sector that it is helpful when details and provisions of the Constitution are looked at in this way?
Oh, it's hugely helpful. Because I'll say for 30 years, various constitutional lawyers and experts, in particular very distinguished academics, have been saying consistently there's a problem with the super junior system because it's being utilised to get around Article 28.1 of the Constitution. What this judgment does is makes it quite clear that the Taoiseach is entitled to appoint super junior ministers, to have them attend cabinet, to contribute to the discussions, and that is not a breach of Article 28.1 of the Constitution.
Okay, well, James McDermott, all very interesting. Thank you so much for coming in to speak to us this lunchtime.
Thank you.